From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Glad to be along with you on this second day of February 2021. And in the studio with me today is Josh Michaels. Hello, Joshua.
Hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
Good. Can you give us a weather report driving in today?
I don't know. There just wasn't much traffic.
It's actually warmer today. Yeah. It's 45 degrees right now. So it feels like, you know, we could break out the shorts and the flip-flops. And
I don't know what's going on with my phone, but I woke up and it told me it was going to be 76 today.
Maybe it thought you were in Mexico or something. Oh, gotta love it. In a few months, maybe in the summer,
I corrected it, and it's 46.
Yeah, 46, and a little rain in and out of the forecast possibly today, and it looks like partly cloudy sky tomorrow and the next few days, so that's kind of good. And you know what today is?
Groundhog Day.
Did you hear what happened?
No.
So I was looking it up because, you know, I don't know how much stock you put into this. I don't even know what the accuracy rates are. But anymore, it seems like anything goes when people forecast anything, right? They can just make up the numbers or say whatever.
We can just make it up as we go.
So I'm almost thinking that an animal would get it right, maybe better than than a human. So it's saying that he didn't see a shadow, so you know what that means. It means cooler temperatures for the next 6 weeks. So, yeah, and that's about, what, the 9th of March or something like that. So cooler than normal temperatures.
Probably as accurate as a weatherman.
Yeah, probably. Too bad Terry wasn't here to kind of jab a little bit and say, hey, what do you know? Now, I want to talk a little bit. We got an interesting show today. And we're going to talk, you know, we're really on top of things that threaten our liberty, right, and our freedom. And thanks, by the way, Josh, for being there on Sunday. What a great event, huh, the freedom celebration that we had. Mm-hmm. It was great to all be there and celebrating freedom and liberty, and to be together was a powerful thing. We're on guard. We're wanting to be on guard at things that threaten our liberty and be mindful of what's going on, but not just to talk about it. We want to get active and do something about it, right?
Correct.
And so looking at some of the headlines, some of the things we're going to talk about today is a little bit about media and standing strong in this culture, this cancel culture, and what we can do when the media gets it wrong. What can we do when the story is told wrong? How do we bring light to the truth? And some of that is by having a radio station like this, we can tell the true story of what really happened, right, from people, eyewitnesses, things like that. But it's interesting because one of the stories out is that the Biden communication team's administration, their administration is saying they want all reporters to give them the questions in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have proof of that, of them screening questions beforehand. I don't know if anybody's seen it with the circle back lady. Is what her name is?
Oh, I call her the dancing queen.
Oh, okay.
Because she dances around the topic. But I'll circle back to that.
Let's circle back. I'll circle back to you.
It's crazy. So three sources with knowledge of the matter, a well-written communications reviewed by the Daily Beast, who said that the Biden communications had wanted all the questions ahead of time. And it's incredible that as hard as they were on Kayleigh McEnany, you know, and all of her press conferences, how hard they were on her, she was studied.
Yep.
She was thorough. She had, you know, sourced all of that.
And she was actually good at her job.
And she was excellent. Mm-hmm. And so what a contrast. And so looking at that headline and then also looking at Oregon's headline, I guess yesterday, this is interesting. Here in Oregon is when the law decriminalizing drugs started yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that that's in the headlines. And we're known all now, everybody's going to come to town, right? Because police in Oregon can no longer arrest someone for possession of small amounts of heroin, methamphetamine, LSD, oxycodone, mm-hmm. and other drugs as the ballot measure took effect yesterday.
That's wild.
interesting. And yet, if you go into the store without a mask, ooh.
Oh, I know. It's the end of the world. Yep.
Another headline. I'm just throwing these all out there. Feds missing 20 million doses of vaccine. That's interesting. How can you lose? How do you? It's just you and I have our own theory. We think they're maybe put aside, and that was their easy excuse, right?
Yeah, I think that they were probably tainted, but they don't want it to people to think that the vaccine's bad for you, because it's the all forever great holy solution to the end of our demise in the future. But they can't have any bad PR, so they just said it disappeared.
And there's troubling evidence. In fact, someone, I've got to vet it out a little more, sent me a video this morning of a meeting talking about the vaccine and all of that. And it feels like such a pressure and a push on the vaccine that it's kind of like Nancy Pelosi, you know, pass the bill and we'll read it. Let's just start the vaccine and then we'll deal with the outcome later. And it's very scary.
Yeah, if you guys want to be a guinea pig, knock yourself out. Go get a vaccine that has virtually no testing, no background, no history, and there's a lot of red flags going on all over the world surrounding them. Interesting fact, you cannot get into China now if you've had the vaccine.
Whoa.
They won't let you into their country. So makes you wonder, what's in it? Why do they not want somebody who this glorious vaccine that's supposed to save everybody, why are they not letting people who've had it into China?
And moreover, other countries are stating that they are stopping the vaccination process.
Yep.
They're stopping.
In Australia, they stop the vaccine because it's giving anybody who's taken it false HIV positive results.
Whoa.
Right, because COVID is a hybrid. It's a construct of five different things. According to the
Institute of Health.
No, in India, some scientists in India back in May dissected the virus, and they're like, "Yeah, this is definitely a test tube. It's definitely not a natural form anything." Mm-hmm. And it's got an HIV strain on it. It's got the coronavirus piece on it. I mean, there's like five different things. They don't even know what it is. So to come out with a vaccine for that is crazy.
Well, it's definitely a big unknown. We know more a year later as far as how contagious it is and if the masks work or don't work.
Sure.
And the difficulty for me in this whole season, and it's already been about a year, you know, I look back, it was the 28th of January, and this is one benefit of Facebook, as you can see where you were a year ago, you know, in the pictures you shared or what you shared and the memories part. and I was really sick, and Terry was really sick, and it was in January. We just had moved here. I mean, we were like, couldn't breathe, the whole thing. And now looking back, I'm pretty sure we haven't been tested for antibodies, but I'm pretty sure that's what we had, because I had never seen Terry as sick as he was. And it spread pretty fast through the dealership and all of that. And I wasn't here on the radio yet. So many people have already had it, didn't realize what they had. And the difficulty with the vaccine that they're talking about is
it's going to give it to them again.
Again. And
it's going to lower their immune
system. It doesn't
system.
Necessarily prevent, depending on the new strains
they
that are coming.
They even say, they even say that it doesn't prevent you from getting it. They even say that. And they also say you still have to wear a mask if you have it. There is no benefit to it aside from fulfilling your own personal little fear in thinking that you're going to be okay from it, when the reality is the whole thing is a big hoax. So they can inject you with some experimental, you know.
Well, and again, just the pure logic. It by getting the vaccine, by wearing the mask, these are not pathways to what we knew as normal, pathways to reopening, pathways to having a life again and having liberty and freedom. It's
pathway to slavery.
More control. And now they're talking about, they're certainly doing internationally. If you're like, we just got back from Mexico. We didn't have to test going in. We didn't have to test coming back. But now you do. And now they're talking about if you don't have the vaccination, you won't even be able to get on the plane. In fact, through the CDC, and I don't know how this works, CDC has now made a regulation that they can enforce by penalty, federal penalty, you not wearing a mask on the plane. How do policy bureaucrats get that opportunity to have that kind of enforce? I thought it was laws that imply criminal penalty. It's just a really weird place that we are, and where we're going from here. As you and I, listeners, friends, we have to be really vigilant, and we have to know what our rights are. We have to be tuned into the Constitution, and I would even say we are in a, and I've said it before, a constitutional crisis, because all over the place our constitutional rights have been walked all over, and maybe that's because we've been ignorant and we don't know.
And they're not hiding it anymore.
And they're out in the open, they're telling us what they're going to do, and here's an area that is very troubling, and we're after this break, which we have a little bit of time yet, we're going to get into, there's an incident that has happened in Clark County, just over the water in Washington. We're going to get into it a little more, where civil rights, liberties, and not only that, you know, when we're talking about our parents and our grandparents, or maybe even our children, that we have some sort of, we're a guardian of them, and we're the ones that have been given the power of attorney to make the medical decisions. When they start walking all over that, because you and I know, any surgery that I've had, they're like, who's your power of attorney? Who can make these decisions? You know, you have to fill out all this paperwork, right? When these things start happening, they're huge red flags, and we need to be prepared for it.
Yep.
And so this is really important, friends. This next segment, I'd encourage you, if you have someone that you are a guardian of, or you're concerned about a parent and you're wanting to know a little more about the forced COVID testing and vaccines, we're going to get into it a little more. I also want to remind folks that we've got some training coming up that's going to help us know how to be a good citizen in our community. There's a couple really good trainings coming up. One is a biblical citizenship class, February 14th at People's Church here in Salem at 11:30 a.m. And you can get signed up by going to patriotacademy.com. And we have a link on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio. And then Chris Ann Hall is coming February 19th and 20th to the River Church. And she, of course, is a constitutional attorney, and she'll be talking a lot about what to expect in our Constitution and how we can stand strong. And I know, Josh, there is much we can do to become aware of our rights.
Yeah, and the key is we are in an information war. We are in a battle where finding consciousness and finding information is harder and harder and harder. And so I just want to kind of recap with people and let them know this is a good resource. The radio is a completely different platform than the internet. And there's so much information being censored. Utilize this radio station and stay tuned in here. And we got a great story coming up next.
Yes, and don't forget that you can listen to this podcast later on at kslm.news. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. To Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. So glad to have you along today. Friends, we are in uncertain times and turbulent times, and it's important that we stay encouraged. We get the information that we need so we can engage and empower our culture. And there's so much going on that trying to stay on top of it. And Josh and I were just talking with all of the sources of information on the media, in the media, the things that we've been comfortable with over the last probably 5, 6, 10 years, internet, social media. The nice thing about social media is we could kind of counter the messages that we were getting on mainstream media with some truth, right? And now that's been cut out.
Yep.
And we're not able to connect to one another, right?
Yeah, so what social media has been is it's kept people from talking in regular instances and in live and in person. Everybody's going to social media when that was just simply an opportunity for people to go there, and now they're in a trap to mm-hmm. where you feel that you have to have social media. Social media is meant to control you and keep you from talking to other people in person. It has a great tool. It's created a lot of awareness. It's done a lot of things, but they are openly censoring in so many accounts in so many ways. You have to question everything.
Well, and the interesting thing for me was I was in Mexico. I was not even here during, it's the 13th of December all the way through the 15th of January. So I wasn't here during a lot of the stuff that was going on in D.C. I wasn't involved. I really wasn't even on my phone. But because I'm involved in some constitutional type groups on Facebook, I didn't have the ability, and I must have been marked somehow about mm-hmm. being a networker and a connector for liberty, because I was not allowed to share stories. No one could share with me. I wasn't allowed to like new groups. I wasn't allowed to connect. And it said I was banned until the 23rd of January. But do you know, the afternoon of the inauguration, I was unbanned all of a sudden, mm-hmm. which showed me that there is some stuff going on. And I know the individuals I'm going to bring on the air with me now, certainly I want to introduce Bob, and I think it's Runnels. Is that correct, Bob? Is that how you say your last name? Are you there, Bob? Hopefully we can get the technology, but I want to talk a little bit about, I think Kelly is on the air too. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm on the air.
Okay.
Yes,
hello, Kelly. Let me see if I can get Bob as well on the air. Oh, he might have to call back in. Glad to have you on the air, Kelly. Kelly Stewart is with us as well. And Bob and Kelly, there you are, Bob. How are you today?
Hi, just fine, thanks.
Oh, excellent. So let me tell you a little bit about Bob, friends. Bob is an advocate. He is retired from the risk management consulting career, and he has spent time working as an advocate on many levels to help defend rights in healthcare. And he's been involved in the legislative sessions in Washington and I believe even here in Salem, Oregon. And Bob, I was alerted by our mutual friend, Brianna, what's going on up there in Washington. If you want to put the lay of the land, we've got about 4 minutes here to set it up. And then we're going to bring Kelly in as kind of a on-site witness of what actually happened. If you could set up what's going on right there in Clark County.
Okay, thanks. So Friday evening, about 4 o'clock, I was made aware through a network of our peers, really, our neighbors, that there was a situation going on at a legacy Salmon Creek hospital. And there were reports of basically medical kidnapping, to put a label on it. But I wanted to find out more details. Kelly put out some of that information. But by the time I arrived at the hospital, the daughter of the mother being held, the elder mother being held in the hospital, she had already been through multiple phone calls in a couple hours of trying to get the hospital nurse station to understand that the mother needed to be released. That was the wish of the daughter, who had the durable power of healthcare attorney. And at that point, when I showed up, she had a couple conversations with the nurses. I overheard all this through speakerphone, and the nurses started hanging up on her, and she was getting very agitated. And it was really a sad sight to see when the person had just become helpless. Hmm. Based on her role as her mother, she's got a healthcare attorney role, and she needs to give informed consent. And that really, of course, got my radar up. And so we were supporting her there, and then it was time basically to get loud, because we weren't being heard. We were not being heard as a group. We were there to support her. And I think she needed the support.
And go ahead, Josh.
Oh, so in that, Bob, what was their reasoning for not releasing her mom?
And so I will defer some of those details, but the understanding is there's a COVID policy in place. Whether she got the test or not, there is the potential that she'll be put into the COVID protocol.
So they need their money.
Which requires quarantine inside the hospital or basically a 24-hour wait period. Whether she was tested to get the result or whether or not, they basically wanted to put her in that kind of COVID protocol. And so that was news to the daughter, who had been there until 4 a.m. the day of and had gone home to get some things and was coming back.
Wow. And we're going to get into this. I'm going to ask Kelly, bring you into the conversation when we get back from this break, because there's some certain things that are red flags early on that I want our listeners to be aware of when we're dealing with our family members, we're dealing with our children, and now dealing with a hospital or a clinic and things like that. We need to be on guard and aware of these things and the tactics that are being used to take away our liberties. And so I know that our listeners will be very interested in this information and firsthand experience that you witnessed right there on the spot. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We are continuing the conversation with our friends in Clark County who have been talking, really defending people's rights. And it's important, friends, that we stay on top of this and be vigilant. And I want to say, for those of you that want to hear this podcast and pass it along, it is on our website this evening. It'll be on this later this afternoon, KSLM.radio. And be sure to let your friends and family know. And we'll put a link as well up on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio. Today's show is brought to us by Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. We're so glad to have Dave and Paige Smith as a morning show sponsor. They are ready to go above and beyond to serve you and I in our real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099, and we will continue the conversation as we get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hi, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Josh Michael in the studio today. It's 45 degrees right now in the KSLM studio. He's looking at me like, okay, I may say something, I might not say something, but we have on the air with us Robert and Kelly, and we are talking about a situation that happened, if you're just now joining us, happened in Clark County just over the river in Washington on Friday. And if I'm understanding, what I grasp onto this is that there's a woman who has a mother who is dealing with a brain cancer tumor. And she was having some issues, and they brought her into the hospital because she had a UTI and needed some fluids. So the daughter, who has guardianship, power of attorney of her mother, to help make the medical decisions for her mother, consented to the fluids or whatever. When she came back, my understanding is everything shifted and changed. And from there, when the client or the patient wanted to go home, and the daughter said, I want to bring my mother home, that's when there was an obstacle, and that's where things kind of shifted and changed, and it really moved into something different. And the what caught my attention on this story, friends, and I want Kelly to help us get there, is how there was a big disconnect. What happened actually happened, and the truth of what really happened, and how the media portrayed it, not only in the Pacific Northwest, but throughout the country, are two different things. And again, remember in our very first segment, we talked about how the media is manipulating us and manipulating stories to fit their narrative. And I think here's a prime example. Kelly, thank you, by the way. You have been involved with people's rights and connecting people in Washington and been a leader there. Talk to us a little bit about what happened on Friday.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us on so that we could get this cleared up. I do want people to know that it was a combination of the media, but really at the heart of it was Legacy Salmon Creek started the false narrative, and the Clark County Sheriff's Department finished that. In between the two entities, we were completely demonized, mm-hmm. and it couldn't have been any more false than what they had put out. Thankfully, we recorded everything. But when the live stream started, that was about 3 hours into it already. And prior to that, we had only been recording on our phones, mm-hmm. hoping things would be resolved and everyone would be going home and there'd be no need for more people to come. So there is more to the story for people to understand versus just what was put out on the live stream. And this started on Thursday night, and what actually occurred is the daughter called 911 because the mother was acting a little bit more loopy than normal. She's got significant medical issues, significant memory loss. She can't remember 5 minutes ago if she ate, but she can remember her whole childhood. Mm. And so that's been caused from the brain tumor that was mostly removed, but there was just enough of it about 20 years ago left that her she has regular seizures. She has epilepsy. She has short-term memory loss. Again, significant medical issues. So this daughter is a full-time care provider, as well as the power of medical power of attorney over the mother. So she called 911. This isn't something that is out of the ordinary, because sometimes she just doesn't know if things are getting worse and she needs medical help. And so 911 came. They brought the mother in and just determined, okay, she has a UTI, so we can get her on some fluids for dehydration. What do you want to do? And the daughter said, let's go ahead and get her admitted and do 24 hours of fluids, antibiotics, make sure she's really feeling a lot better and get her back home. And so the daughter went in the middle of the night. The mother actually called from her cell phone about 2 o'clock in the morning to myself and to the daughter to let us know that she was doing okay, but she hadn't been checked into a room yet. And that was concerning to the daughter. And so the daughter has her own family and is was not able to just go right to the hospital with the ambulance because only one person can go in. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, she said, I'm going to get childcare. I'm coming in, Mom. You should have already been checked into a room by now. The doctor said you were getting checked in. I'm going to come and check on you. The mother at that point over the phone reported to me that she had not been taken to the bathroom in hours and that her mouth was dry. And so the daughter, like a good daughter, rushed at 2 o'clock in the morning, stayed with her till 4, got her situated in her room with the nurses, felt very comfortable with the situation and said, I'll be back tomorrow with the change of clothes and do your hair and your makeup and we'll see if we can get you home. So when the daughter went, before she left, she was recording parts of the time that she was there. And one of the times that she recorded, she stated to the nurse, she said, now I made it clear to the doctor that my mom does not want to have anything shoved up her nose or have a COVID test. She's not here on any symptoms for COVID. I just want to make sure that's respected. And the nurse said, well, if you told the doctor, that should be okay, but let me check protocol and I'll get back to you. So the next day when she showed up, she was under the understanding that there would be no COVID test. And as far as protocol went, nobody called her to say anything had changed, that her mother was being quarantined or there should be any reason to be concerned. And so the daughter talked to the doctor in the morning and he said she did fine. Fluids are great. And the daughter said, okay, I'm going to get a change of clothes together and I'll be in this afternoon and spend the rest of the day and the evening with her. And this was on the phone with the doctor, and nothing was said about a quarantine. So when she showed up, there was the media reported that the people who came were unreasonable. And this was a very unfair representation with what this daughter had just been through. She showed up to the hospital. She went into the hospital 2 times. She left to get to take a phone call at one point. And she entered both times with a mask on. And the media has said that she was told she couldn't come in because she wouldn't wear a mask. Now, this is on video at Legacy Salmon Creek, which we will be obtaining as soon as the police report is filed. And I think she's going to have that filed by tomorrow. So there is video of her walking in. And this is a big deal because she's being demonized across the entire country as this crazy daughter who couldn't see her mom because she wouldn't wear a mask. Now, whether you believe masks are helpful or not, the bottom line is that wasn't the story.
Right.
She had a mask on. In fact, she got it from security because she forgot her mask in the car. Hospitals and doctors are a regular occurrence for this family, and she knows she needs to wear a mask or they're not going to let her in and she's going to have problems. So she went in and they said, go ahead and have a seat, and we'll check and see if you can get sent into her room. And then they came out and said, I'm sorry, your mom has been COVID tested, and it will take 24 hours to get the results back.
Whoa.
She's in quarantine.
Wow.
Now, this turned out, we're not totally sure, but it turned out to not be true. But the listeners need to understand, when you give a directive to a doctor as a medical power of attorney, mm-hmm. and your mother herself says, I don't want anything put up my nose, I don't want to be tested for COVID, and the doctor agrees that it's unnecessary and states, that's fine, we'll just go ahead and have the nurses wear extra PPP, to which the mother responded to the doctor, that's fine. And then you come in and you learn, not only are you denied access to your mom, but something medically was done that you gave the directive against.
Mm-hmm.
And so this started the situation. This is what started the entire evening of the altercation that was that we went through. And so at this point, the daughter, as Bob had stated, was on the phone with nurses, was getting very upset, standing on the parking lot saying, I don't understand. I need to come check on my mom. She has seizures. I plan to spend the evening with her. I don't want her alone in the room. And why did you test her against our wishes?
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point during about a two-hour time frame of being hung up on by nurses, somebody disclosed to her, your mom wasn't tested. She is in quarantine because she won't test. Mm-hmm. And so now the daughter is getting even more concerned, saying, did you test her or did you not? Why was I not told she'd be in quarantine when I was asked if I wanted to leave her here? You know, I'm the one who gave permission to leave her here. Nothing was said. She would have, her mother would have requested to come home had she known she was going to be isolated and quarantined from her caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started to elevate concerns. And at this point, there's only about two or three people down there now with Satin. And Satin calls the sheriff's department. And she is beside herself and doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls and says, I want a deputy to come down. They're not getting me access to my mom. And they've done medical procedures, or maybe not done medical procedures, they're not quite sure, without our consent. I'm the power of attorney. I need to get in to be with my mom. And she was told that as long as it was the same visitor for the entire stay of the time in the hospital, that she would be able to come back and be with her mom the next day. So a lot of misinformation coming from the hospital that would have concerned any loving daughter,
mm-hmm.
and made them say, I want to see my mother. I need to understand what's going on and talk to my mom.
So she called, she called the police, and what did the police say?
This is the first call, and the police said we'll have, the dispatch said we'll have a sergeant or deputy call you back.
Okay, so did they ever call her back?
They never did call her back.
Okay.
No, not until we saw them. So at this point, then she calls me again multiple times, and she's very upset, saying, I don't know what to do. And I said, you know, I've got to shower and get a few things done. I'll be down there in a little bit, and we'll get some people to come down there with us. You know, we'll get a hold of the hospital administrator. They're going to understand that you're power of attorney and that you need to come at this point now and see your mom, and if that's not going to be allowed, what do you want to do? And she said if she's not allowed to stay there, because she's been talking to her mom during these 2 hours, she's been calling the room, and she said, my mom said if I can't be let in, she wants to come home.
And that's really the pivotal point right there. What did you tell her?
And I said, we will not leave that hospital today without your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you that. Your mom will come home with us. We're not going to tolerate medical kidnapping in America.
Right.
And this is happening in the hospitals. This is happening in nursing homes. This is happening in prisons. The most vulnerable in our communities are being isolated from their advocates.
Yep.
And that puts them in a really dangerous
situation. We've got a little bit of time left. And before we go into the break, from there, you had folks show up at the hospital. And my understanding then is that the hospital called the sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department showed up. And I want to pick up when we get back from there. And then, Bob, I've got a couple questions, and I've got a couple questions for you too, Kelly, on how we can get informed and what we can do, what we've learned from this situation. Of course, we want to know how the patient's doing and where we're at today. We've got a little bit of time left. We're going up until 8:58, but right now we'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a
good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, for being a morning show sponsor. You can get a hold of Bill Sunderland by giving him a call, 503-885-0789. And we are continuing the conversation this morning. It is interesting, Josh, talking to Kelly and Bob this morning in this incident that happened in Clark County, Washington, just across the water. Unfortunately, I mean, I wish the show went on and on and on where we had more time to get all the details. But my understanding from what I'm gathering from Kelly and Bob is that certainly this individual's rights as not only the power of attorney, but she's been the day-to-day caretaker of her mother. And the thing that stood out to me is that she called for help with the local sheriff department to say, hey, they won't let me in, and I've got power of attorney, and I'm concerned about my mom. They said they'd call her back. They didn't even call her back. But when the hospital calls, then they show up. And then they
arrest, or I don't know if they arrested anybody, but they go after the people that are there. Just the hospital's literally holding this lady hostage
because she wants to go home.
She wants to be home
with her family,
and the daughter, she's not COVID related, nothing else, but they roll out all this COVID stuff. And so that makes me think that the hospital, we all know that the hospital gets money for every COVID test patient that is positive, whether mm-hmm. it's a false positive or not. The hospital's getting money, and so I've personally believe that that's was their angle.
Some
of
motivation.
Why they were keeping her. They have to get all of their money, and that's what it was. They were holding this lady hostage so they can have another number
kind
on
of,
their checkbook.
Kind of a hook. And Kelly, as you shared with us, and you were there, and you're involved in people's rights in Washington, you've been able to connect people and call people there. When people showed up as a reinforcement to say, hey, this is wrong, right outside the hospital, I'm guessing, yes, there's a crowd and that's intimidating, but they were there to help support your friend who's trying to get her mother out, right? And then the law enforcement shows up. Talk to us a little bit about that. We don't have a lot of time, but what happened? And then give us an update on where these individuals are now.
Sure, yeah. When I got there was only maybe 10 or 20 of us, and I was live streaming at that point, so you can clearly see the crowd. There was mostly women and children that were there. There was a couple men. And as soon as security told me that it didn't matter now if the daughter was now saying, okay, I want my mom discharged, security said to me on camera that we do not have the final say and that this patient was not leaving the hospital until her quarantine was done. So at this point, I called 911. I'm sorry, I called 311, the non-emergency line. And the dispatch told me that they would not be sending any officers to help us. And they said, quote, we will not be responding to your calls tonight, Kelly. And that was really disillusioning when we need an advocate here. We need somebody to interpose for us and help us. And we were told that nobody would be coming. So at this point, all we really had to rely on was the public making phone calls, calling the sheriff's department, calling the hospital. And really the community came together and did exactly what they should do every time this happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About an hour later, I called back again and they said, we are actually sending some deputies because the hospital called. At that point, we were relieved because we felt like we were going to have some form of representation and that this would probably get resolved. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. 23 officers showed up in tactical gear. They put on riot gear. They all had everything they needed to control an unruly crowd. The problem was we were not an unruly crowd. And so it got quite intimidating for a lot of us really quickly when we realized that they were not there to help us. They were there to, in their mind, protect the hospital and not advocate at all for the patient.
So then,
I think after about an hour of them looking pretty silly surrounding the hospital, and there's literally women and children, after that, they finally started taking steps to get the daughter discharged.
Good.
Sorry, the mother discharged.
Good.
And by about 9:30 that night, she was released. But before that happened, at one point, a patient went in, and the daughter tried to walk in with a patient as she's saying, I need to get to my mom. Please let me get to my mom, which is not unreasonable for anybody to be doing. And when she tried to walk in, the sheriff's department grabbed her by the neck and threw her back. And at that point, a gentleman jumped up from behind her and put his arm in the door. And it's hard to hear him on the recording, but he's repeatedly saying, open the door, talk to us. Why won't you guys talk to us?
So
because the police had formed a line inside. They had this mentality that they needed to protect the hospital.
We have a few more questions, Kelly, for you.
That point is when he was...
Yeah.
Sorry to have to cut you off. We're in a short amount of time. We have a couple more questions. We want to get the information out to the people so that they're informed. Okay. Go ahead.
So the one thing, the one question I have is how are you communicating with these people and establishing these groups? Are you guys still using social media and still using platforms like that, or do you have
no,
an alternate form of communication?
Yeah, People's Rights Network was purged October 13th, so we have a text system set up, and
good.
That was actually interrupted that day, and so we were not able to send a text system out. Telegram.
Okay, so that was disrupted.
The main ways.
Okay, but aren't we seeing this? Isn't this something that we're seeing a lot? Is that people are literally just standing up for their rights and trying to, you know, protect things, and the media is spinning things as if it's completely absurd that you guys want to, you know, kind of congregate and protest against this just for something simply as, you know, letting this lady, poor lady, get discharged. I mean, and the media is spinning it, the spin machine, they're completely misrepresenting this entire thing. It sounds like you got a lot of information and video available. Where can people go to see some of that video?
On YouTube, I do have a channel up, People's Rights Washington.
Good.
And we have some of the videos on there. And then on Telegram, they can find us at People's Rights Washington on the channel. And all of the information is there as well.
Okay, good.
And then we do have a website, peoplesrightswashington.org.
And Bob, I want to thank you for holding on, too. Thank you so much for what you're doing in Washington. Anything you want to add real quick? We got about 30 seconds.
I think one thing that is going to be missed by all the media inflammation of the situation is the fact that the hospital policies need to change.
Yep. Mm.
This could have been averted. This could have been an exception to the policy. So tragedy for Satin and her mom, and they had to go through this trauma. But I think that COVID policies can be changed to favor the family decisions in hospitals.
Agree.
They can take reasonable precautions.
I agree.
Long-term care facilities as well. I think there's a lot of room. Unfortunately, we have to test these limits. But I really think it needs to change. A lot of families are unhappy.
Well, I appreciate your time, both of you. I wish we had 2 hours or 3 hours to hash this out, but I thank you for standing strong, advocating for those like Satin and her mom. Thank you for what you're doing in Washington, and stay in touch. Give us some updates on this story if there's some legal stuff that happens out of this. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Have a great day. God bless you. So, Josh, as we're wrapping up this show today, you know, this is just a reminder that we as individuals, we have to make sure that when we're signing these forms, that we're making sure that what we're consenting to. And we have to also be aware that we have this. I know we're front lines. We love our police officers. We love our sheriff. We have to also be aware that not always are they going to work and show up for us.
Exactly.
It depends on who is paying the bill
and we've seen this happen and roll out. Is people think that you know, just because the police might agree with you in a personal level, they're there still to do a job, and they are the enforcers.
Yeah.
And so you got to be, you know, diligent. And one thing I recommend for everybody in those instances, if you can get a body cam, so you're not dependent on your phone. And it's so important. They're $100, $150. You can buy a body cam and just have it on you all the time. And when we start getting into these situations, you really have that documentation that you can fall back on.
I think that's wisdom. We need to be prepared. We need to certainly have a way that you and I can stay in the trenches and be advocates for those around us that may be challenged.
Yep.
Friends, it's time. It's now.